This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the East Coast of the United States. Up tonight, DJ Osmo Pocket announced NASA's first step to go back to the moon in a small way. Google tablets and why most are just kind of and not exciting. McDonald's hash brown gets a guy a ticket. We'll talk about that and more. I want to welcome you to episode 1330 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, November 29th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com, and listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm, warm welcome, and I want to apologize right off the bat for those of you that had trouble specifically with Pocket Cast not getting the show. I made a small clerical error when I published the show on Monday and made the correction relatively quickly, but not before the incorrect URL for the show got cached. So I apologize if you had trouble with the last show. If you missed it, it is available. Just kind of refresh your cache on your device or you're on your app or whatever it may be. Hey, of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. I want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show and the newsletter when you're on your website. That'll get you linked up and be part of the Ohana here. Whether you're an Apple user or an Android user, don't worry. There are links there for you. If you just want to listen to the show on the website, you can do that as well. Again, geeknewscentral.com is the place to go. You can watch the show on your Apple TV by searching for Geek News Central, or you can listen on blueberry.com. If you have a smart home device, you can say the keyword to launch your device and say play the podcast Geek News Central. When I am in Hawaii, which I am not right now, I'm usually live at live.geeknewscentral.com or on Facebook. You can join our chat room as well at geeknews.chat or be part of our Slack family. Just got to send me an email if you want to become a member of the Slack channel. You can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. Make sure you follow me on Facebook and stay abreast of everything that's going on here. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, GNC Weekly, or actually GNC Weekend Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, Podcast Legends. Those are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. Check all those shows up. And of course, pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And if you're new to the show, Ohana means family. We want to welcome you to the family here at Geek News Central. This show, of course, is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to find all of the great promo codes that I have for you, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a dedicated web hosting account or a managed WordPress account, which both of those hosting accounts come with a free domain for the first year. It's going to cost you a whopping $12 or $1 a month to get started. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've got deals there for you business owners as well. With the website builder program, you can check that out. Makes it very simple to get a business website up and online very, very quickly. Share my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. If you got someone that's absolutely impossible to buy for this holiday period, it is time to hook them up with an online presence by getting them a domain name. Of course, there's lots of great new top-level domains out there. Pick one up. I think recently .guru was on sale across most sites. So there's lots of opportunities to pick up a domain name, even if you can't find exactly what you want in a .com, just because of the higher-level, top-level domains that are available that are fun and something that may just fit someone that you know. It's a family member, a business, or something to that effect. So definitely take an opportunity to think about that and check out all the product services at GoDaddy. Don't forget about the 30% off code that's available at geeknewscentral.com/ GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central, and thank you for your continued support as well. Well, I tell you what, I'm wrapping up a week here on the East Coast. I am in a, secret location. Because, as I said on the last show, competitors of mine listen to this podcast, and if I reveal where I'm at specifically now, they will have a clue who I've been talking to, and that's none of their business as well. So anyway, that I'm at least on the East Coast, and yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, this cold weather sucks. I'm not used to it at all. I think I came in the room Tuesday and essentially face planted. I was just done, and I don't know why. It wasn't a, you know, I just did meetings all day, so I guess I used my brain. So maybe that was what it was too much a brain usage, but I blame it on the cold weather. But meetings all week, it's been good. I'm ready to head back to Honolulu to the warmer weather. I don't have an update from Rossmann Repair Group out of New York City. They did receive my son's MacBook Pro on Tuesday. So if knowing anything else, they're backed up. I'll probably give them a call tomorrow just to make sure, see when I would expect to get an estimate. But anyway, that's what we're looking at, and still waiting for really for an update. There was something I was going to talk to you about. Yeah, CES stuff is starting to infill my inbox now, and I'm dealing with some of that email as normal, and it's going to just continue to increase right here after the end of the month, the first of the month. But I will say it feels a little lighter than it has in years past. So I don't know why, but the volume just seems a little bit less than it has been. So I guess we'll just see what happens here. And no matter what, we're good to go. We'll have plenty of people to talk to, as always. And, I'm going to actually on a new countdown, folks. When, as of next week, we're going to be on baby watch. My daughter is due on December 26th, but you know how babies are. They can come anytime. So the clock is ticking, and obviously I am not flying out. We made an agreement that even if baby comes on the 20th or 21st or 22nd, that I would wait until the Christmas day night to fly out to go to Tampa and meet up with the family and see how, because they're going to induce her no matter what on the 26th. So I'm excited, and we're getting close. I know she is. I'm seeing a little Facebook post from her. So one day closer, I guess, to being able to call myself grandpa, which is kind of scary. But it is what it is, right? And look forward to the joyous event. But until then, we'll keep you guys advised, all right? Okay, so I've got a good stack of stuff for you today. What was that? Felt like it was. I'm looking under my desk. Please not let that had been a cockroach that just climbed. This is too nice of a place for a cockroach. And I'm looking on the floor, but I felt something on my toe. Oh my God. Doing this, I think that's a first in doing the show in all these years. I have a bug crawling on my foot. It felt like something crawled onto my toe. But anyway, I flicked it wherever it went. Let us hope it wasn't a gnarly cockroach. And being cold like this, I don't think so, but who knows? All right, so let me go ahead and get into the stack. You guys just get a little bit of a laugh. I kind of did. DJI, you know, it's just amazing the product line that they're coming out with. I've got one of the original Osmos from the very early days when they, I think it's probably 3 or 4 years old at this point, but they've announced a super tiny Osmo with a 3-axis stabilized camera that's not bad. It's coming in about $375. It does full 4K and at 60 frames per second at a bit rate of 100 megabits per second. So that's going to burn up some serious storage in a hurry. It packs dual microphones for audio, and you can snap 12 megapixel still images with it. You can shoot for 2 hours of 4K video on a single charge, but again, only at 30 frames per second. At 60 frames per second, your recording time is predictably impacted just because of storage. The device works as a standalone camera, but you'll be stuck with the... it's small enough. It's basically, it's tiny, and you can slip it into your pocket. The device comes with both a USB Type-C and a Lightning iPhone attachment, so you can plug into your phone, which acts as a larger display for shooting video. So it does have a little tiny little LCD, but this is pretty little slick little handheld, and I can see where this would come in handy. It's amazing to me where we've gotten with these types of devices in just basic size, you know, and having stuff be so small and get such incredible imagery. And of course, you know, if you look at our cell phones and what they're doing, that shouldn't be surprised. But anyway, I'm looking forward. I'm going to probably order this, I think. And I got to read up about it a little more. Comes with a bunch of accessories. I was looking at the DJI website, and most of the accessory packs are currently sold out. So maybe I'll just wait till the new year and see some of the YouTube reviews on it and see what people think. But yeah, this might be an interesting Christmas gift if that's within your budget. But anyway, it'll be available December 15th. NASA is taking a tangible step back towards the moon with a new commercial program. NASA is betting that commercial companies are finally ready for moon missions. And it's partnered with 9 companies to enable the delivery of small scientific payloads to the lunar surface. No money was exchanged up front, but the space agency said these companies would now be eligible to bid for contracts to deliver select experiments to the moon. And the companies include Astrobotic Technology out of Pittsburgh, Deep Space Systems out of Littleton, Colorado, Draper out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, Firefly Aerospace Incorporated out of Cedar Park, Texas, Intuitive Machines LLC out of Houston, Lockheed Martin Space out of Littleton, Colorado, Masten Space Systems Incorporated out of Mojave, California, Moon Express out of Cape Canaveral, and Orbit Beyond out of Edison, New Jersey. So I'm not real familiar with some of these companies, but they say that these companies have been working on delivering small payloads to the moon for some time. And one relative surprise, according to the writer, was Orbit Beyond. Turns out this company is a consortium of mostly familiar entities involved in lunar delivery: Advanced Space, Honeybee Robotics, Ceres Robotics Incorporated, Apollo Fusion. So NASA said the payload delivery could begin as early as 2019. And these contracts do not have a time or quantity limit, and they have a combined maximum contract value of $2.6 billion during the next 10 years. So I'm going to tell you, based on a rock that was sold at auction at Sotheby's today, there might be enough money just to send a payload to the moon and bring some rocks back to pay for it, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So fun to see this stuff going on from NASA, and it should be some cool missions to report on as time goes on. You know, I've owned a couple of Android tablets, one specifically from Google over the past. But, and I keep, and I look at all of the slates, and I've got one now that I use from a Samsung, and it's not a relatively inexpensive tablet, maybe $360, something like that, I think is what I paid for. And I travel with it, but be honest with you, I just don't think that Android tablets I just keep my I find myself fall back to the iPad, and even though I try, it's just the it feels like and again the experience on an iPhone and an iPad is nearly mirrored. There's not a lot of difference except for a bigger screen. But yet, when I go from my Android phone, which I use a lot, and then I switch to an Android tablet, I'm kind of I don't get the same experience. I don't get the same vibe. So the folks over at Verge were talking about this as well, and they're talking about specifically Google failing to understand tablets and how they haven't done a good job, how they kind of have a half-baked approach to it, and where they're starting to try to mix Google Chrome and some other features in some of their tablets. And I have to agree that the experience is just a little weird. So I don't know, do you feel the same way about Google-specific tablets? Does it feel more computer? Does it feel more tablet? What does it feel to you? I'm kind of looking for your feedback here. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place you can send the email address. But when I read this article, it was to me, it was kind of a, it felt that way overall. So now I guess the question I want to ask is for those of you that are Android only, you've got an Android phone, you have a Mac, or you don't have a Mac, you have a PC, and you're have an Android tablet. What, are you satisfied with the tablet that you have? Doesn't matter which manufacturer. And for those of you that are iOS users that are primarily have like a Mac for a, you know, a computer you use every day and maybe a tablet, and if you've got an Android tablet, have you, what's your feelings on it? I don't know. I just don't get the same slickness. I just don't get the same usability out of a Android-based tablet overall as compared to an iOS device. So I don't know, maybe it's just too many years using an iPad. Maybe I'm just jaded completely. I don't know. But I'd love to hear what you think. Now, check this out. Kirk told me in the, we have a Slack, in our Slack channel, he said, hey Todd, all done with a run through. And I said once, and I'll say it again, when I find articles that are weird, amusing, or both, I think that this is my top five, maybe for the year, and he goes, LOL. And here's the article that Kirk found quite humorous, and I must admit, it is as well. So a man has gotten a $300 ticket for using a phone behind the wheel, but he claims it was a McDonald's hash brown. So it goes without saying, you know, if you're using your phone while you're driving, the cops love to come give you tickets. They're very, very, very glad to do that because they're big usually, right? Vegas was 270, Hawaii's over 300, Connecticut is 300. So anyway, the cop thought he was talking on his phone while driving, so he pulled him over and gave him a $300 ticket. However, he claims he was actually eating McDonald's hash brown, which the cop thought was a phone. He told the Times Union that he wasn't using his phone behind the wheel. I was eating a hash brown, and he thought he saw a cell phone near my mouth. Now, that might sound like a silly excuse to a lot of people, but his phone records show that he wasn't using the device to make a call when he was pulled over for the ticket. He also said that he has Bluetooth, which doesn't require him to hold the phone close to his face when speaking on a call or in the car. The court didn't agree with his explanation, though. Stiver fought the ticket in court but lost. He now has a retrial that's scheduled on December 8th at the State Superior Court. Would you put up your money? Would you put your money on his side of the story holding up? I think if you have no call going out, if there's no phone record, I think he's got a pretty good chance here, but the lower court didn't agree, but he's fighting it. $300. I wonder how much his lawyers cost to go to to take this to the next level at the state superior court. But that's his choice. I'll give him an A for effort here on, but it's true these days. If they think, if they think you're using a phone, you're getting a ticket. And I could see how eating food, where you're holding something close to your mouth that looks like a, you know, it's square, right? Or you know, or it has that kind of shape. Could you mistake a mobile phone for a hash brown? Depends on how far the cop was away, right? All he sees is the hand being held up. How close to a car do you have to be? So I don't know. That's yet to be seen. Anyway, so that was the one story here that Kirk thought was awful funny. I think it's cute too. Hey, a Soviet robot retrieved moon rock has sold for $855,000 at Sotheby's. So that's an amazing amount. Oh, who just called me? My alert alarm. I know there's someone at the house, so there is no way there's an alarm going off. Or is there? Yeah, there's someone at the house. I'm looking at my Nest camera right now. So they must be calling. They were calling earlier to do a repair. Sorry I broke up the show here, but when the alarm company calls, you answer or they send police to the house. But I know there's people at my home right now in Hawaii. So we'll talk to them later. But anyway, Soviet robot retrieved moon rock has sold for $855,000 at Sotheby's. Now check this out. This same rock was sold a number of years ago in 1993 for $442,000. And so inflation, obviously, it's up to $855,000. And these two grains of the moon weighed a total of 0.0007 ounces or 0.2 grams. That is, if you think about it, pretty incredible that moon rock could now be valued at $4.3 million per gram. So that's why I'm saying, you know, you go get yourself a pound of moon rock and bring a pound back and then, you know, be very careful in your distribution. And, you know, you could sell little flakes and specks over a 20-year period and probably do okay. So these are legally, these came out of Russia, so they were legally sold. And anyway, kind of cool, yeah? Private buyer, of course. That's somebody with more money than sense. If I want to see a moon rock, I'll just go to a museum. And you see, you know, once you've seen one moon rock, you just go out in a field and you can find some rocks that look just like it here in middle America. There's a new service I found. It's called Price Waiter. And you can use Price Waiter to haggle your next online purchase and get a $15 credit. So have you ever been overseas and haggled? Now, if you go to China or someplace like that, or Malaysia, or the Philippines, or Thailand, and you go into a shop and buy a souvenir or buy anything, you better never pay retail. No, 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 no. You just, you know, you get the offer, then you start the back and forth. And you better know how much something's worth before you start bidding, because they always have the upper hand, because they know exactly how much something costs, and they are going to haggle with you to a point where you may get the item at a good price, or you walk away empty-handed, or you get taken because you paid too much. But Price Waiter allows you to haggle your next online purchase. So this is pretty slick. So the example that they talk about was that the gentleman that used this it's a plug-in. And you shop around like you normally would. At certain stores, you see the Price Waiter toolbar appear at the top of your browser, giving you the option to make an offer. Type in the amount you're willing to pay and sit back and wait. For example, this guy found a pair of Ray-Ban Wayfarer sunglasses on Amazon. Price was $143. Well, there was no way he was paying that much for sunglasses, so he made a super lowball offer via Price Waiter at $50. The next day, a vendor called Gaffos responded with a counteroffer of $85, a savings of 40%. He checked the Gaffos website, assuming that this was just an everyday price, and it wasn't. He says, I normally had to pay $143 there as well. So, you may not get an offer, though. You may not get a response. But if you're a conscientious shopper, this might be a great way to save some money, especially if you don't want something so bad, but you're saying, I'm willing to haggle for it a little bit. This is pretty cool. So I think this is kind of like the find of the day to save money. So, you know, as you guys and gals start using this on your browser and you start saving money on purchases because you've been able to haggle something down, you know, let's say you've $150 item and you've haggled the price down to $95. So, you know, you saved yourself $55. So, you know, you just remember the old geek here, Geek News Central, who helped you save that $55 and throw us a bone here. Give us a donation, all right? And if you can do that every time, if everyone in the audience used Price Waiter and made one purchase a year with this and sent us half the savings you had as a donation, we could conquer the world. We really could. That's a reminder to become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. You want to give a Christmas gift that'll give lasting value? Become an insider here at Geek News Central. Sign up today at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 level. Become an insider and support the old geekster here at Geek News Central. And every penny that you donate as part of the insider program goes to paying for the bloggers and for the salary of Kirk and everyone else that works behind the scenes. Every single penny of that is turned around and went back out to our family team members here in the way of paying for their services. So you're getting value back because I'm able to continue to pay them and do the things we do here. So become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. All right, do you want to install Windows 10 on a Mac? Well, you can do that. There's a number of ways to get that done. So the folks over at MakeUseOf.com have a way for you to do the install. It's pretty simple. And you can run Windows 10 on your MacBook if you so desire, all right? How many of you have ever bought one of those, what they're called? It's called OBD2 scanner. Do you know what an OBD2 scanner is? No, it's not for a robot. It's for that little adapter that's mostly under driver's steering wheels. It's a scanner that allows you to check when you have a check engine light. You can get the code, and then you can decipher that and get the information on what's really wrong with your car before you go to the repair shop. Now, these things used to be really expensive. I think the first one I bought probably more than 10 or 15 years ago was $150 plus. You had to have it hooked up to a laptop. I mean, it was extensive. But now they've got products that are as low as $23, $12, $50. They've even got some now that, and some of these are Bluetooth, so you don't even have to, like, offload anything. And then there is some that have cellular connections, you name it. Those will go up a little bit more expensive that'll actually stay plugged in and can give you information on what's going on with your car at all times, speed, braking, all that stuff. So this is, might be another little item, a stocking stuffer for all of you for Christmas. Definitely check the link out at geeknewscentral.com. Those of you that are using Android Auto, if you're having trouble finding your favorite tunes, it's just got easier. Whether you're browsing, searching, or just cycling through your favorite media access, and Android Auto is taking a big step forward here. So now when you're browsing media, Android Audio will show things like album art, making it easy to get to your favorite track, spinning with just a stab of the finger. If you need something that isn't surfaced right at the top of the page, a quick search based on the first letters of the track or album will filter things down. If that's not enough, voice searchers can now return a list of all matching media results. Just pick the one you want. Enabling these features require a little work by app developers, and so far Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music have had the updates. Play Music is the one I subscribe to, and it's what was used for testing. So definitely check these all out. And so again, if you use Android Auto, link will be in the show notes on how to get that connected up. T-Mobile, they can't just be a cell phone company. They're now a bank too. T-Mobile is a checking account service. T-Mobile Money is a checking account service for the folks at T-Mobile. And this checking account service is for its customers called, again, T-Mobile Money. It's a complete checking account solution with FDIC insurance for balances up to $250,000. Customers will receive a MasterCard debit card as well as the ability to send paper checks from a comparison app. Now, I want you to check this out. Now, they're partnering with a bank called Bank Mobile, and they're a digital bank, which is part of Customers Bank. Basically, T-Mobile is using the bank's infrastructure, but offering its own service to customers. Now, many of you know that checking accounts do not give hardly any interest rates whatsoever. So, if it irritates you, this is something kind of cool. You can have up to $3,000 in a checking account. Now, you have to deposit at least $200 per month, okay? So let's say you have, you keep a running balance in there of close to $3,000. You pay your cell phone bill and a couple of other things in this app or in this service. But as long as you don't go beyond $3,000, they're going to give you 4% annual percentage yield on balance, on your balance, in your checking account, 4%. That's awesome. Now, if you've got a checking account that's paying you 1% or something like that, you're hardly making any money. But if you take a little bit of money that you're going to use on a regular basis and you want to have a little higher percentage rate, this may be something to consider. Now, if you go over that 3,000 threshold, this is important. It reverts back to 1% annual percentage rate, okay? So you'll make a little bit more money on the money that you have in because you're drawing 4%. May not be worth the hassle, but I'm always like, wow, free account, no minimum balance, no account fees, no fees for withdrawals at over 55,000 ATMs. This is pretty cool where you're able to get up to $3,000 at 4% in a checking account where checking accounts usually don't draw any money whatsoever. All right, moving on here. Google, Facebook, VPNs. Well, we talked about Google risking a fine because them not participating in Russia's national blacklist program, while other companies are now being targeted. So we talked about this on the last show where Russia saw the creation of a centralized database of permanently blocked sites. And we know that search companies are required to connect their systems to this database, locally known as FGIS in Russia, so that such banned sites can be preemptively removed from search results. And so far, Google and others have not connected. So what this will end up happening is Google's probably, Russia is going to go after more of these companies that haven't connected to this database. So I found it to be very interesting that they're now looking at other parties, VPNs, Facebook, anyone that provides any type of search results via folks in Russia. This should not come as a surprise. Senators want to give the FTC more authority to combat illegal robocalls. And on Wednesday, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota introduced the Real Peace Act, which would expand the FTC's authority to crack down on telecommunication companies that facilitate illegal robocalls. And this witty acronym stands for Robocall Elimination at Last, Protecting Every American Consumer's Ears. Oh, okay, whatever. So this bill would close an outdated loophole that enables scammers and spammers to make intrusive and illegal robocalls to millions of people. The Real Peace Act will give long-neglected enforcement authority to the FTC that allows them to aggressively crack down these calls and finally hold back bad actors accountable. Good luck on that. Anything they've ever done really hasn't helped. So if you want more details on that, it'll be up and available for you. All right, Netflix, Amazon Prime, what's available in Hulu? What's available for December? Lots of new stuff coming to those platforms. Android Central is a link to all three lists of new movies and programs that are coming and some that are dropping off as well. Of course, December, middle of December, people go on vacation, a lot of Netflix, a lot of Amazon Prime, a lot of Hulu watching going on. And oh, I got to tell you, my wife was complaining big time about not being able to watch local news. So I bought one of those, well, I thought I did. I bought an antenna, an HD antenna, and hooked it up. Couldn't get nothing. Couldn't get a single channel. So if those of you that have hooked an antenna, an HD antenna to your sets, what's been the trick? Because the one I bought and hooked up, nothing worked. I got zero channels. So I'm like, okay, that seemed to work out well. It was an indoor antenna. But nothing, not a single, and I know they're out there. So maybe I just got a bad antenna. What are you guys using? What's working for you? Where have you got it stashed? Anything special you had to do? And of course, I'm looking at my Samsung flat screen TV and programming it up, and it just searched through and didn't find anything. Next story up here, AT&T is offering new details on their three-tier subscription video on demand service for 2019. You know, we just can't get away from them, can we? You know, they bought all this video content from Time Warner in its acquisition. And so fourth quarter of 2019, three tiers of video on demand service coming to you from AT&T if you're a fan. Luckily, there's lots of options out there. Ars Technica is reporting of a mass router hack exposing millions of devices to a potent, what they're terming an NSA exploit. It's a years-old UPnP vulnerability used to export ports 139 and 445 within your router. The new attacks exploit routers with the vulnerability implementation of, again, universal plug-and-play, to force connected devices to open ports 139 and 445 and delivering a payload. So I don't have a list of devices that are affected here, but make sure, please make sure that you are updating your routers in your homes. Also make sure that if you have the technical know-how, maybe you should block port 139 and 445 to the external world, not necessarily within your own network. But yeah, currently there are 45,000 routers with confirmed injections exposing a total of 1.7 million machines. So make sure that you, and if I get more information on this, and this may be some big company network routers as well, you know, that are sitting there on the internets that are routing traffic to us. But considering there's only 45,000 that have been hacked, but still update your personal in-home routers as well, all right? One thing I've been noticing, and it's really irritating. I've been in some big cities here this week, and I probably have almost got hit by a bicycle two or three times walking on sidewalks. There's something about these rental bicycles that are, to me, very annoying. They're everywhere. And I understand people want to ride bikes and rent them instead of walking. That's cool, but I'm not a big fan. At some point, they're probably going to have to be regulated. It's just a free-for-all. But Lyft has completed its acquisition of Motivate, the largest bike-sharing operator in North America. And in its celebration, announced it will funnel $100 million into a dramatic expansion of Citibike in New York City. With 12,000 docked bikes, Citibike is the largest bike share system in the U.S. now thanks to a five-year $100 million investment. Citibike would like to grow 40,000 bikes over the period, doubling its service area by 35 square miles. Are you guys using these bikes? Are you in a city where they're just showing up and they're like just being put up against businesses and stuff, and there's no, and the cities are confused on what these services are? I know I'm going to be called, you know, I know I'm going to get hate email here, but it's annoying. It really, really is. And if you're going to ride a bike, follow the doggone rules of riding a bike, you know? If you don't want to ride in the city streets, then don't rent the bike. I guess some places allow riding on sidewalks, but it's too much to the detriment of people walking, that's for sure. Apple Podcast charts, ClickFarm. Well, there's a story on The Verge talking about how people are gaming the system to be number one in the Apple Podcast ranking chart. How many of you have actually used the Apple Podcast? Please, please, I want to hear from you. How have you discovered podcasts, new podcasts? Have you heard it from people like me? Have you heard from your friends? Are you searching for specific podcasts? Are you going to the directory and looking at the top 200? How are you finding your shows? Because personally, I don't think I've looked at the Apple Podcast ranking chart, besides just glancing at it in articles like this, in a long time. I don't find new podcasts that way. How are you guys finding your podcast? Love to hear your inputs. You guys have been with me a long time. How are you finding new stuff? How are you getting turned on to it? You know, I don't do a lot of podcast promotion on this show. Haven't for a long time. Matter of fact, it's probably a lot of podcasters out there probably could get some good exposure if they did send me a promo. But I just don't get them anymore, which I guess is okay. But how many of you are finding new podcasts via the Apple Podcast chart? And anyway, the gaming basically is taking $5 to get someone to number one. So yeah, we've known Apple's had a problem for a long, long time. Microsoft has gotten a $480 million U.S. Army contract for HoloLens. And they're going to be supplying prototypes for the augmented reality system to the U.S. Army, which the military branch will use for training and combat missions. The contract is worth, again, $480 million. And it will supply as many as 100,000 HoloLens augmented reality headsets to the Army. Your taxpayer dollars at work, for those of you that live here in the United States. Airbnb, they've got some radical ideas. Their next project is building houses. And they've created an innovation lab called Samara, which is focused on rethinking housing and urban planning. Now, Samara has announced its new initiative, a project dubbed Backyard, that will prototype new ways that homes can be built and shared. Backyard isn't a house. It's an initiative to rethink the home. Homes are complex, and we're taking a broad approach, just not designing one thing, but a system that can do many things. So does this mean they're going to build me a room, and then I'll share a kitchen, and I'll share a living room, and be a co-living space or a commune? Is that what they're coming up with here? As I read through this article, I'm thinking, man, this it's kind of interesting, but it almost sounds kind of like a commune. You know, that's with a modern commune type thing. A link will be in the show notes. You guys can kind of weigh in on your own. But to me, that's what it feels like in this article. And they plan to test, but not sell in the next year. I'm about ready to sneeze here. I'm trying to hold it off. Facebook will not require political ad labels for news outlets. I wonder if Geek News Central is going to be included in that. Of course, we don't do any political ads. But again, Facebook, starting today, will not require political ad labels for news outlets. The change will start in the United Kingdom and expand to the U.S. and elsewhere. So here we go again. Apple's in another dust-up with its fans. iMacs, MacBooks lack a filter and are choking on grime, according to a lawsuit. Owners are not happy. Apple's been sued in the U.S. this week. Again, the complaint filed Wednesday in San Jose, California, on behalf of some plaintiffs, suggests marketing claims that its products are rigorously tested are misleading. It also argues the company is overcharging non-warranty customers for repairs. Oh-ho! Dun, dun, dun. The district court filing contends that Apple's omission of dust fillers in its iMacs and MacBooks has led to repeated product failures in the form of smudged screens and fan malfunctions that result in overheating and processor crashes. Huh. That's curious. And they haven't installed filters for aesthetic reasons, obviously. On Apple's own website, computers have been complaining about dark, smudgy marks on their displays for years, which often appear just after the one-year warranty expired. And dust has proven particularly problematic for Apple. Earlier this year, the Cupertino Idiot Tax operation was sued over keyboard design. Of course, we've talked about that in the past, where they've changed out the keyboard and added a rubber separator to try to protect the keyboard a little more. But, yeah, you know how dirty it can get with, have you ever cleaned a Windows machine? I have all the time. They've got great filters. The White House is going to host an innovation talk with tech CEOs again. Google, Microsoft, and Oracle executives will be in attendance, along with who else? Who else is coming? Do they have another list? But it's another advisory meeting. I'm sure people will be screaming and hollering about that, protesting that they're going. A story from Google itself, talk about 7 ways Google Assistant can help you survive the holidays. Talks about building healthy holiday habits, creating a gift list, answer the door from wherever you are. Of course, they got to get in a smart display sales promotion here. You can have fun at home for the whole family by sing-along, karaoke-type stuff. Read a story to your little ones. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this. A little bit of a advertisement pitch within this. Twitter's banned a fake Putin account that the real Putin followed. So the fake Putin account, which had quite a following, has been banned. And that was a real big crackdown. All right, if you're shopping this holiday for a laptop and it's been a while, there's some things to consider. I got a good review on how to, how you can pick a size or decide on the display and decide if you're going to go Mac, PC, or Chrome and some must-have features and so forth to consider before you venture into laptop buying land and go buy that laptop that's on sale at your local big box. So link will be up in the show notes on that. You know, I remember as a kid, my mom had a mercury thermometer, and it was stashed in the, I can just visualize where she put it. And it's one of those, it's one of those places where you could go, but you had to be careful when you went there. And I remember having someone broke a mercury thermometer once, and people freaking out. And so, we've come a long way since the days of mercury thermometers, and most people don't even have a doggone clue what I'm talking about. But there's a new, you've probably been in a doctor's office where they just, they put one of those ear cuffs on, and they put the ear cuff in your ear and go boink, and it takes your temperature. Well, now the technology has gotten so cheap that there's a $20 thermometer that doesn't even touch your skin to take the temperature. And it's called iHealth. It's a new no-touch digital thermometer. And obviously good for kids. And basically, you just put the sensor right on the skin. Not even on the skin. You just point it at the skin, and it produces the temperature. So pretty nice little device, $20. Another nice, cool stocking stuffer there. Maybe you get that for grandma and grandpa, or someone that needs a thermometer, or even the mom of the house. Who knows? But another particular idea for Christmas. An article that showed up on Geek News Central, written by Jen, talks about Google Fi and how Google Fi will work with iPhones and most Android devices. You can now sign up for Google Fi with popular Android phones, including many Samsung, LG, Moto, and OnePlus devices, and with an iPhone, which is in beta. Google says there's some extra steps involved for iPhones, and they'll walk you through it on the Google Fios app. Plans start at $20 a month for unlimited calls and texts. Get exactly how much data you need for just $10 per gigabyte, up until 6 gigs. And then after that, Google's Fi bill protection caps your bill, and your data is free for the rest of the month. It's worth noting that data is slowed when individuals have used more than 15 gigs in a month. So very, very cool here. So Google Fi can be used with your iPhone and most Android devices. There we go. We saved you some more money, all right? All right, last article for the evening. There's an in-depth article from The Intercept about Google and how they shut out privacy and security teams from the secret China project. And it goes you to show how much trouble Google went to really try to keep the information undercover from the Googleplex on what they were doing. It's pretty amazing. It really is. Hey, I want to thank Aaron Stevenson for the suggestion on where to send the laptop to, and he was the one that promoted the Rosman Group. So Aaron, thanks for that. And I forgot, and I thought I saw it in Facebook, but you sent me an email as well. And of course, I want to thank Richard for sending an email and talking about the Osmo Pocket as well that was announced today. Kirk found it as well in the show workup, but thank you for both sending emails into the show. But it's been my pleasure bringing the podcast from the road this time. I'll be back in the studio, back in Honolulu on Monday for a regular live show. We want you to, now that if you're on the West Coast, there's no excuse. Keep your eye on the live.geeknewscentral.com page. It'll tell you what time I'm going live, if I'm going live before 8 p.m. But I will give you forewarning. I am going to be back in the gym. So it'll probably be an 8 p.m. start, which is a 10 p.m. Pacific time. You can join me. Since we've had the clock change, people are kind of screwed up and watching the show live. But even those of you that are getting ready to start some vacation for Christmas and so forth, you can hang out with me while we do while I'm live in the studio. Now let me talk a little bit about the December schedule. We're right here at the end of the month. Saturday's the first, so as everything goes, there'll be a show for the 3rd, for the 6th, for the 10th, for the 17th, 13th, for the 17th and 20th. Then there will be no show on Christmas Eve, and I may have to have a replacement come in it's going to be real weird because this year, New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve both fall on Mondays, so the schedule at the end of December is going to get real odd, and then I leave for Vegas, so there could be some potential here for a couple of weeks of as many as 3 or even 4 weeks of me being out. So I want to make sure that we have some coverage during that time. just because I don't want to leave you hanging that long with everything going on with me going to Tampa for my daughter's and her husband's, the baby's birth and everything. So we'll talk about that. But the first 3 weeks of December, full regular schedule with me in Honolulu. So anyway, look forward to bringing you the shows. And thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for staying part of the family. Thanks for consideration of becoming a Geek News Central Insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Of course, don't forget about our sponsor at GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your emails to me are important, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure bringing the show today. Not too bad for an on-the-road show, 55 minutes. So we're going to wrap this up. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.